Praise God. Amen, amen. Thank the Lord for his word. I want to read four verses here in Hebrews chapter 2. And I'll read the first one, you'll read the second, I'll read the third, you'll read the fourth. All right, that's how we'll get through this passage today. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Wow, that's quite a list. The witnesses, the signs and wonders, the miracles, the gifts. Amen. He's given more than enough proof. So great salvation. Praise God. But that word escape, that's what clicked with me. I couldn't escape it. Escape. Praise God. That's what I want us to focus on here today. You may be seated. God bless you. Practice in emergencies is something that you're familiar with. You in your workplace, you probably or you may have practiced what to do in case of emergency. If you've flown on an airplane, a commercial airliner, you know the drill. The attendants are going to stand up there while you're taxiing away from the terminal and heading to the takeoff position on the runway. They're going to tell about the exits. They're going to tell about the slides. And if you're over water, they're going to demonstrate the life jacket and so on. And then they'll pull out that instruction card and say, you can read, you know, and so on. And they go through all of their motions. You remember from school, the fire drills. And all of a sudden, that loud clanging would start. And head jerks up from working at your desk and look around to see what everybody else is doing. But you do it often enough, you just jump up out of your seat and you head for the door and line up. And if it's cold out, I'd grab my coat. I'm not going to. This is a drill, but I want to stay warm. And so we know that's part of the escape. March, it's interesting that we had an earthquake last Sunday. And it reminded me of March 2011 in Japan. I wasn't there, of course, and you weren't either, but what a tremendous and awful disaster, both of the earthquake and with the tsunamis that flooded the coastal towns for a large extent of Japan. And if you were here in 1964, March, it may have even been this day. I'm trying to remember. Was it? Anyway, the end of March 1964, there was a huge earthquake here in Alaska. And it devastated downtown Anchorage. It wiped out Valdez. Brother and Sister Blackshear were pastoring in Kodiak at that time. And they said it was very strange to look at the harbor with all of the water washed out of it. And then the realization that water is going to come back. And we better head for higher ground. I think that's good instruction for any emergency, especially in the spiritual realm. You need to stay on high ground. Amen. Don't go slogging around in the muck and the mire of this world and its sin. God rescued you out of that. Don't go back to it. You stay on the rock. Praise God. And let the blessings of the Lord continue to minister to you. But the tsunamis that were so devastating in Japan, I remember watching the video, and it seemed so strange for the seawater to be pouring over what looked like a dam or a wall. And the water just surged again and again over those walls. What they were seawalls. They thought high enough to stop any waves or any surge coming against it, but far from adequate. When that tsunami, and it came again and again, severe destruction and loss of life, just terrible. Almost 20,000 dead was one estimate, and another article that I Googled was even more than that, quite a bit more than that. But the drill, of course, was simple: go to higher ground. And here we are in the spring, or near spring. It's spring down south, and the tornadoes are starting up, and the loss of life. And the utter destruction. My goodness, it's incredible to see that all there's left is a concrete slab. And next door, there's still a dwelling with some of its shingles missing. And how the wind so severe could touch just one dwelling, but barely touch the other. And I read this morning that a zoo had its tiger enclosure damaged, and there's a tiger running around now in that community, escaped from the zoo. So another danger on top of that. It's just amazing. Volcanoes, a couple of them down on the Aleutian Chain, 5 miles apart, both steaming, both having a number of earthquakes, seismic activity, and so on. We know these disasters require a knowledge or a means and ability to escape. And the Bible talks about perilous times that we live in. And we recognize the threat of terrorism and so on. But spiritual terrorism, spiritual deceit is what we've got to be on guard against constantly. Because the Bible lets us know that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. It can look as though he has what you need. And what he's presenting is what you require. He imitates light. He transforms himself into a messenger of light. That's why you've got to be so aware of what this Bible says and follow exactly what the Word of God declares, because there is loosed upon this world an angel of death that can transform himself into an angel of light. Satan is so subtle. The small changes that he suggests in the Word of God result in big consequences, and we've got to be on guard. The Bible lets us know there's corruption. The Bible lets us know there's pollution. And Peter, in particular, writing his second letter to the people of God, warns about those situations. In 2 Peter 1 and 4, I love the way he presents the power of God, the blessings of God, and then compares it with the pollutions and the corruption that is there. He says, there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. How incredible that we can forsake and we can deny our human nature and move into the realm of knowing and experiencing and being blessed by the divine nature that the Lord opens up to us. There's promises that he makes about that divine nature. There's precious and exceedingly great promises that he says you can be a partaker of the divine nature. And here's the criteria: having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's not just a sexual thing, but the love of money being a problem, so apathetic in your comfort zone and not worrying about what the needs of your neighbor might be, but just, I'm good, I'm okay, everything's going fine for me. I don't need to be concerned and worried about somebody else. It's wonderful to know that we can be a partaker of the divine nature and having escaped the corruption of the world. In chapter 2 of 2 Peter, he goes on and describes escaping the pollutions of the world. He said, it happens through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the blessings that he imparts to us. That's what we can rely upon. That's what we can know to be so great and so wonderful. But to be entangled again and overcome by those pollutions makes the latter end worse than the beginning. That's a risky gamble. Any gamble is a risk. It's a chance. But that one becomes even more so. Why would I play with my salvation in that way? Why would I take it for granted and just think that corruption and pollution is not going to touch me? Those are words that imply bad conditions, and they require immediate action as though it is an emergency. And it is an emergency when the devil is trying to bring corruption and pollution into your experience and steal away your salvation. Now, we know about Lot. We know about Mrs. Lot. We know about Abraham praying and how he did not stop. He stood yet before the Lord, the Bible says, as he went from 50 righteous down to 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. He stood yet before the Lord. Praise God. And the Lord said, I know Abraham. I remember Abraham. It wasn't Lot that he was responding to, Lot's cry, Lot's prayer, Lot's call. It was Abraham. Just like you pray for your loved ones, you pray for your friends and family. Praise God. And there's great potential through prayer. We know the Bible says that Peter was in prison, but it also comments that prayer was made without ceasing by the church for him, and he was delivered. Praise God. Thank the Lord that there is an answer that the Lord has in store, a way of escape, a way of deliverance. There are people who are trapped, who are caught by circumstances, by substances, by situations in their past. They just cannot seem to get out of the problem, out of the difficulty. But thank God, the Lord has a way to break the unbreakable. The Lord has a way of taking care of those chains, amen, and moving us into the realm of blessing and power and goodness. And even after we've served God for a number of years, even after we've experienced deliverance and power and healing, again and again, the Bible lets us know there hath no temptation taken you but what is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, thank God. The Lord is not playing with you. The Lord is not dangling you over the pit and seeing how long you can hold on. No, the Lord is letting you know he is not going to keep you from what he will take you through. Thank God for the power of the Lord that will be there no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what we're going through, no matter how rough the storm gets or how strong the winds blow. I'm thankful that the Lord is there, never to leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. And you will be able to bear it. He will take you through. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there's power and blessing in the Lord. But there's the neglect. That's the word that bothers me also in this passage. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. We know there's no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Apostle Paul fought against that way when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, when he was serving the law of the Hebrews and so on. But praise God, prayer was made for him. Because the Lord said, pray for your enemies. So they prayed for Saul of Tarsus. And his conversion and his call resulted in him saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Praise God. He would let us know there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing you need to be intimidated about. There's nothing you need to hold back from and feel like you're walking on a tightrope. No, God has provided a way of holiness, praise God, that you can walk with him, paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and you can know his blessing and his strength and his goodness. Those philosophers on Mars Hill in the city of Athens, where the philosophers gathered, the Epicureans and the Stoics and all who were so intellectually elite, and they made fun of this preacher named Paul. But praise God, I'm thankful he proclaimed the power and the blessing of the Lord that would come to them. And there were a few who received it. There were a few who went home understanding there's someone who can give me answers. There's someone who can guide my way. There's someone who can answer my questions. And the others went on with their debates and their discussion and in a merry-go-round in a circle that would be a whirlpool and sucking them down into an oblivion, as it were. But thank God, the power of the Lord is there to raise you up. The power of God is there to give you an escape, and you don't neglect it. No, you move into the realm of the blessing and the goodness of God. Amen. You know, if you neglect your boat, you neglect your fishing gear, you neglect your motor, there's a lot of work for you to do in the spring, and a lot of stuff that you've got to take care of. You neglect your car, and the check engine light comes on, and oh, well, it's still starting. We'll just keep going. It'll get me down the road. And when it finally breaks down, I guess I'll do something about it. That's neglect. You neglect your job. You neglect your health. You're not going to have those very long, are you? You neglect your relationships. Uh-oh. What would you think about Jesus if he treated the church the way you treat your wife? Neglect. Don't neglect salvation. You might neglect your finances. You might neglect your health. You might neglect your possessions and so on, but never neglect your salvation. Oh, no. Amen. Because you know why? That's the only thing you're going to take out of this life. No possessions going with you. Your health is what's going to get you moved out of here. Failing health. Or an accident, or a disaster, I guess, or any of those kinds of things. But like the person said who had a gun pulled on him, you can't threaten me with heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. That's where I'm going. Praise God. Amen. But I'm not going to neglect so great salvation. It first was spoken by the Lord. Amen. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He told that woman at the well, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you'd ask him for a drink. How can you? And then the whole conversation unfolded. And Jesus said, the water that I give shall be in a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. I'm thankful the scripture lets us know that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. And guess what? That's where it began. Praise God. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They didn't go there expecting there just to be an empty promise. No, they knew what he said was going to come to pass. And they had that experience of the power of God coming upon them. And they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And then they were baptized. Praise God. 3,000 of them. Over 3,000 of them. What a tremendous witness to that whole city of Jerusalem as they were baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ because of the power that would be there in their lives. And then the Lord bearing them witness, the signs and wonders continued, the various miracles continued, the gifts of the Holy Ghost continued. Praise God. The power of the Lord that was so great and so wonderful and so amazing. I'll skip the point about the word spoken by angels, except for this one in Acts 1 and 11. They stood there with the men who were looking up into heaven as Jesus ascended, and the angel spoke, declaring, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken from you today, shall so come again in like manner, even as you've seen him go. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, so great salvation. So great salvation. And the escape that we're going to be able to enjoy. The sounding of the trumpet, the shout going forth, the loud voice that will be heard, the dead in Christ rising first. We which are alive and remain caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. What a reunion that is going to be. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're not going to go and just have a picnic and then come back to the drudgery and difficulty of this life. Even if we just go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and have a great time there with all of the redeemed and then come back here, it wouldn't be a good situation. But forever with the Lord. Forever with the Lord. Praise God. No wonder the writer said, you need to give the more earnest heed to the things which you've heard. Don't let them slip. Don't let them be released from your grasp. Don't neglect so great salvation. It's a treasure. Protect it. Guard it. Hold on to it. Praise God. Let it be renewed and refreshed in your life again and again. Don't let it escape from your heart and your mind, but hold it there. Praise God in your life. And oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Now see, the Bible says the world is going to pass away. That's why the Bible lets us know, don't love the world, because it's not going to be here. Love the things that are eternal. Lay up treasures in heaven, because that's what's eternal. Everything that we see around us, everything that we possess in our home and in our property and in our bank accounts or whatever it might be, it's going to be gone. And the Lord doesn't want you to be disappointed in that regard. So that's why he lets us know heaven is going to pass away. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. The earth is going to be burned up. Peter wrote about this in his second letter, chapter 3. In verse 12, he repeated it. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. He didn't know about nuclear power. He didn't know about the exchange in atomic warfare that probably is going to bring about these things. God doesn't even need to wait for anybody to push a button. If there would be a dozen of the volcanoes that we call the Pacific Rim of Fire to go off at one time, think of the devastation. I got to be ready. Praise God. Oh, yes. Thank the Lord for the power that God has given to us. So what John wrote in his first letter is so appropriate for us to take care of. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I can't fool myself into thinking I can play both sides at the same time. I can walk on one side of the fence one day, and then I can jump over the fence on the other another time. When I have an emergency, when I need to escape, I'm going to call on my God. Oh, I've got to stay on his side the whole time. I got to walk in his presence and power the whole time. I've got to have his blood covering me the whole time. I've got to have the power of his name upon me the whole time. Praise God. Because John said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof is going to pass away. But he that does the will of God is going to abide forever. Read it for yourself. 1 John chapter 2. Great instructions, great promises, great and wonderful things that the Lord has provided. Praise God. But oh, I'm so thankful. The escape that we experience as we forsake sin and crucify the flesh with the affections and lust and turn our attention to the things of God. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. I'm thankful I can escape that condemnation. I can escape that garbage that the devil tries to heap on me and tries to remind me of what I did and how I acted and what I said and so on in my foolish years. But thank God the power of the Lord moves me into that realm where I can claim his blood and his power to do a work in my life. Hallelujah. You talk about escape when Revelation 21 and 4 lets us know God is going to wipe away all tears. That's the escape I'm looking for. Hallelujah. And the scripture lets me know there's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more crying. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more death. Thank God. We're going to escape all of that garbage. And we're going to move into the realm of his power and his presence. Hallelujah. And know the goodness of his touch forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I'm not going to neglect it. No, I'm going to live in it. Praise God. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to let others know there's something greater. There's something more powerful. There's something more wonderful in Jesus Christ than you'll ever find anywhere else. Praise God. Stand with me, if you would, please. Oh, great God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And well, is that the end of trouble when you say yes to the Lord? You don't have any more pain. You don't have any more sickness. You don't have any more needs or any of those situations. No, I have none. I'm not claiming that. Right. Not at all. All kinds of things happen. All kinds of needs and situations, emergencies. Yes. But you know the difference? I call on the one who's got the answer. Amen. I call on the one who's got the strength and the power to heal. I call on the one who's able to give me peace when things are crashing down around me. Praise God. And not only for me, but I call on the Lord for my wife. I call on the Lord for my sons. I call on the Lord for my daughters-in-law. I call on the Lord for their precious grandkids. Oh, God, deliver them from evil. Oh, God, cover them with your blood. Oh, God, keep them full of your Spirit. Every one of them have received the Holy Ghost, and I thank God for it. But I've got to call on him and say, Lord, don't let them forsake that. Don't let them think there's something better and greater than that. Let them be renewed. Let them be refreshed. Let them be touched again and again and again in your Spirit. And does the Lord just look at that request and toss it in the trash? Oh, no. He came to seek and to save the lost. Praise God. And he continues to do that work. He continues to do his blessing and his touch. Oh, I'm not going to neglect it. Praise God. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to live it. Amen. Thank God. It came up again and again at the men's retreat. Being real. Being real. Real men. A real experience. A real God. It just again and again. That's what's wrong with this world. Religion is empty. Just ceremony and ritual and rote. But you walk with God in a real relationship. Uh-huh. That's something you don't want to neglect. That's something you don't want to replace and try to find something else that's going to be adequate, sufficient. Never happen. because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. And we put our trust in Him. Would you come and pray for a few minutes here now? Praise God. You know what? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can receive it right here, right now. Amen. That's the kind of God He is. He just says, you believe my word? You want to serve me? I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you my spirit. Praise God. And His glory comes in. His power is revealed. His blood covers. Praise God. His forgiveness is extended. Oh, what a great God. What a powerful God. What an amazing God. And that's who we're going to call upon here now for a while. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and reach out to the Lord. Let's go ahead and call upon Him together right now. Let's believe Him for His touch. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Work God in our hearts now. Lord, work God in our lives. Oh, Savior. Do the work, Lord Jesus. Do the work, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Help us, God, as we determine. We determine in our minds and our hearts, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you.